Welcome to Shakespeare Full Circle, a journey of a circuitous nature into the mind of the Bard of Avon, or as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we venture into a comedy.
Oh, that's very funny.
Though it does involve a shipwreck, Uncle Will spared us the details of a murky, malevolent, deep-dwelling Carcharodon Carcharius. We venture far from Amity Island to the northwestern part of the Balkan Peninsula, landing on the coast of Illyria. In Twelfth Night, written around 1599, between Uncle Will's other cross-dressing comedy, As You Like It, and his arguably most well-known play, Hamlet, we find the origin of the phrase, out of the jaws of death. Following a shipwreck, Viola is helped ashore by the captain of the doomed vessel. Believing that her twin brother, Sebastian, has drowned, she disguises herself as a boy named Cesario and enters the service of Duke Orsino. Meanwhile, Viola's twin Sebastian has been rescued by Antonio, a sea captain who previously fought against Orsino, and yet accompanies Sebastian to Illyria, despite the danger, because of his admiration for Sebastian. More on that later. Following some comic shenanigans involving mistaken identity, challenges of honor, and some ridiculous costumes, which we do not have time to get into here, suffice to say, Antonio enters, believing Viola, dressed as Cesario, is her twin brother Sebastian, whom he rescued from the sea.
Youth that you see here, I snatched one half out of the jaws of death, relieved him with such sanctity of love, and to his image, which we thought did promise most venerable worth, did I devotion.
What's that to us? The time goes by, a while.
But oh, how vile an idol proves this god!
It is interesting that Uncle Will uses the term jaws, as it definitely gives the sense of a beast waiting to consume you. This would certainly take flight, or fin, in the literary sea serpent explosion of the 19th century, with Tennyson's The Kraken and Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It would be used metaphorically, on dry land, to refer to the hardships endured in the early pioneer days in the diary of one of the first Mormons to move west in 1847 to Salt Lake City, Sarah de Armand P.
To start out on such a journey in the winter, as it were, and in our state of poverty, it would seem like walking into the jaws of death.
Tennyson would then use it in his famous recounting of one of the most famous military blunders in English history, the charge of the Light Brigade. Stormed at with shot and shell, boldly they rode and well into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. But this sense that the phrase gives us of being devoured is actually a pretty ancient development. Think of early humans on the savanna, and our propensity for patternicity, the application of meaning to seemingly random events. As author Michael Shermer states in his book, The Believing Brain, early hominids who hear a rustle in the grass and connected that sound and movement with a predator allowed themselves time to react to potential danger. Assuming it was nothing more than the wind may have been accurate 9 times out of 10, but those failing to make the connection, more likely than not, wouldn't be around to pass their genes on to the next generation. This evolutionary gift does have its downside. Our brains are still wired for pattern recognition, but along with it comes its less than helpful cousin, illusory agency attribution. Or simply, something has to cause that. A playful pixie of the winds, perhaps, or maybe even an angry sea god that shipwrecks a pair of twins. But to very loosely quote Freud, sometimes a storm is just a storm. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that's all we have time for. Join us again next time for another circuitous journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.